OpenAI basically went, the idea is like, this checkout is hard, folks. You guys, it's just, y'all for real, y'all? I mean, you could have it back. I've been Claude Code, I feel like, most of the day these days. You hate it sometimes, but you love it a lot. Like the WWF, The Undertaker just sort of waking up, you know, it's like.
If you want to go in a nice little wormhole on this one, just hit the Reddit threads because the Reddit crowd, not a fan. RIP, nice knowing you, Devop.
Welcome to the Watson Weekly. I'm your host, Rick Watson.
Hi, it's Jess Lisuski, 250, 250. We're coming at you. It is our heading into July 4th episode, Rick.
On today's show, we have a special one for you. We are going to review the stories in the first half of the year and tell you, are they bold or are they cold?
That's right, Rick. We're going to break down what's happened so far. We're at the midpoint of the year, and there has been so much news. I think it's been even hard for you and I to keep up with all the things that are going on. So we thought it'd be nice to just kind of reflect back before we go forward into the second half and just see what people have been cooking, right? And let's kind of break down, why do we even have kind of this like notion of bold, Rick? What like was the premise of that?
Yeah, the premise is I had a big kickoff at NRF this year, we hosted an event. And one of the big topics of the keynote I did was being bold in 2026. And it was really coming off the context of 2025, where it felt like in the face of uncertainty, a lot of businesses went into their turtle shell. So like, how do you get out of that turtle shell, take some action, be bold in 2026, and then deal with the consequences later? That's a tomorrow you problem.
That's right. Don't go like turtle shell. Find your inner TMNT. You know, get that turtle power.
Right.
To really bring you and rise to the occasion and serve your customers really well, right?
Exactly. So I'm excited to go in here. We also have a newsletter, just in case you didn't know, watsonandweekly.com. Head on over there.
That's right. Check us out, subscribe, and tell all your friends because they won't want to miss this. All right. So I'm going to start with what I felt like was, looking back, one of the boldest stories of this year. And it really comes down to Anthropic and their announcement on their IPO, which that's like part of the story. The bigger story in my mind, the bolder story in my mind, is their rise. And they really, like I said, have been this quiet, calculated, formulated, and focused, you know, ninja at the end of the day, you know, coming up from behind. There was so much buzz about OpenAI, ChatGPT, all the things that they were doing, all the tentacles that they kind of had out, Sora, ChatGPT, the checkout, all those things. But Anthropic really had one kind of customer in mind, which was enterprise. And that served them so well. And their strategy, their partnership with Snowflake, you know, how they came out with Opus, and they had all of these developers really over the holidays, timed so well last year to kind of start talking about all the things they had been vibe coding. It really set the stage for them to continue to get momentum, which has led them to this moment. And that's their bold moment of the year.
Yeah, I could not agree more, Jess, although I do have a love-hate relationship with Claude Code sometimes. You know, it feels like in the world of AI the last couple of years, it's all been about the web UI.
Yeah.
And I think Anthropic really led the idea that the developers need a home to develop code, that this web UI isn't going to be enough. And so the founder of Claude Code, Boris Cherney, who's at Anthropic, he basically said like, why can't we just work in a terminal? That's turned out to be like a really fantastic idea. He doesn't write any code anymore. He's just looping over Claude Code results. And as someone who has this, you know, I'm in Claude Code, I feel like most of the day these days. You hate it sometimes, but you love it a lot because it just does so much for you.
I feel like you've found your inner developer again.
Exactly.
You're kind of getting back to your roots.
Yeah, like the WWF, The Undertaker, just sort of waking up, you know, it's
coming out and just coding things.
I love it. All right. So that's what's Anthropic. Yours? What's mine? I would love to be the boldest move of this year is eBay GameStop. You know, Ryan Cohen coming back. I mean, that's, say what you want about it. It's a terrible idea. Let's put that in that bucket. However, it is gutsy. He's putting himself out there, putting his money where his mouth is. Maybe it's ill-gotten crypto money, but it's still money. And he's trying to attract attention to himself. And God bless him for it. That, to me, that is a big, bold move for 2026.
Yeah, you know, look, I would say it was bold and he went cold real quick because the follow through on this thing was weak sauce.
Not like, good.
He was not going to win anything on hot ones because there was nothing hot about his pitch. When he actually went on CNBC, he flamed out and he kept saying, it's on the website. It's on the website.
Exactly.
So like, look, I get it, Ryan. You wanted to make a bold move, but you got to like get yourself prepped and ready for the game, you know?
Tax compliance is one of those things that sounds manageable until it isn't. You add a new channel, you expand to a new state, you start shipping internationally. Suddenly, the complexity catches up with you. Tariffs, duties, VAT, jurisdiction rules vary everywhere. And a customer just got hit with an unexpected charge when their order arrived. That's not just a compliance problem. It's a brand experience issue. Avalara is how I solve this for clients. I've been recommending them for years. When we help clients select new providers, Avalara is always the call. Works right inside Shopify, BigCommerce, WooCommerce, wherever your brand lives. Accurate tax at checkout, visibility into tariffs and duties before the order ships, and fewer surprises for your customers. If you're scaling into new channels or new markets, don't let the tax layer slow you down. Check out what Avalara has built specifically for growing brands at avalara.watsonweekly.com. You know, you say you followed eBay a long time. Would eBay be worse for this?
It's a hard call, friend. I mean, there's so much to unpack there. Man, eBay, it's interesting that they are now like the little engine that could, sort of, in a sense, because for so long, they were just the powerhouse and they were the place that you went. And now it's kind of the place that you go for the hard to find thing that is in your consideration set, maybe like third or fourth retailer down the chain.
The place that Care forgot.
Yes, it is. I mean, from that broken laser pointer to now lots of broken experiences. Where will eBay land?
Yeah, they're landing. They just bought Depop. And so that's something else for us to follow as we go along.
That's right. That's right. Well, actually, so, you know, I think we're going to break down what are cold stories of the year, kind of the things that flamed out and didn't necessarily materialize in a way that, you know, we thought would kind of land with the splash. And, you know, speaking of eBay, it's a great segue because my cold story is eBay buying Depop for the 1.2 Bs. And here's why.
Wow, something new.
Yeah. I mean, look, eBay does not have the best track record when it comes to acquisitions and integrating them in. They make lots of them, but a lot of times they flame out. I mean, I think probably the most successful one is PayPal. Mm. And even that went in the breakup train, you know, at the end of the day, because PayPal thought eBay was holding them back. And well, how the tables have turned.
It's almost like a Taylor Swift song.
It sure is. Aww, it could be. I bet she would write something about that. Yeah. Or we could get Claude to do it in her genre. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on this? Like, are you pro Depop eBay together? Or
usually acquisitions get lost inside eBay. So I'm negative on this deal. It seems like Vinted has really used this as an opportunity to come to the U.S. and they've had a lot of growth. So maybe it will turn out that they had the right idea, but the wrong target, you know, from the secondhand market. And so basically they're collecting Etsy's trash here. So
there we go. Yeah. I do love, if you want to go in a nice little wormhole on this one, just hit the Reddit threads because the Reddit crowd, not a fan of what's happened. You know, they've been talking about like, was the closing delayed? Was there a conspiracy theory around that? That since eBay has bought Depop, there's fees are already being raised from 8% to 12%. And then somebody, I love this one, was like, eBay buys Depop. RIP, nice knowing you, Depop.
I would agree with that take. On another cold take for this year and the final one of our show, OpenAI walking back checkout.
Ooh.
Of all the opportunities in the world, we have a new player. Google has tried and bitten the commerce apple a few times and failed. Meta has said that commerce was important a few times and then walked it back. This was a new player with new hope, you know, and
yes.
OpenAI basically went, the idea is like, this checkout is hard, folks. I mean, you guys, it's just, y'all for real, y'all? I mean, you could have it back.
Yeah, I love it. It's so true. I love how so many companies, like, we're just going to close the loop. We create a marketplace. And like, they don't necessarily walk through, but what happens next? And what happens next? And it's like, okay, great. Who owns the customer? Who's merchant of record? Who takes the accountability for returns and the process and all those like things? You got the charge
back.
Yo,
we out.
All those things. Like, we're going to go reverse side, which is so interesting, especially for a company of like OpenAI's clout and stature to like feel like they can't figure out checkout. What do you think the underpinning of that, Rick? Will they be coming back?
I do think they will eventually walk back here, but I also believe that it seems more likely to be a partnership play than an owned play. You either have the DNA and you don't, and you want to be in the details of like compliance, fraud, who owns the customer, retention, these data. Blah. Yeah.
Gross.
You know, it's
gross.
And so they don't really have the stomach for it. I do believe that they'll come back to it, and they do seem to be innovating on the experience. And I think that's how they'll build it up front. But when it gets to like really the guts of the cart and loyalty programs and things like this, I just don't think they're going to go there at the end of the day.
Yeah. Will chat and shop become besties?
I mean, they're already kind of besties a little bit. I mean, even though OpenAI and Stripe were kind of initially besties, it seems like Stripe has kind of pulled back on ACP and more into this sort of Google UCP camp, if you follow sort of the protocol dramas that are out there.
Protocol Shop, wars. That can be a whole other show.
Shop is really trying to be wherever there is an agentic checkout. It's like, hey, we have Shop Pay. And by the way, PayPal's dead.
Yeah,
there we go.
Another cold thing. Remember
exactly.
We said blue is boring and purple is hot. So we're back there.
That's our story on OpenAI pulling back on checkout and 2026 so far. Gosh, I mean, you've given us a lot already, and there's going to be more shows where we talk about what's happening and what's next.
That's right. That's right. Just like America in 250, 2026, it's been complicated. You know, we've had some ups, we've had some downs, but at the end of the day, we love you and we're here for it.
Yes.
So can't wait to see what the second half has in store. I'm sure it will not be quiet or calm, and the AI wars will continue.
Yeah. And then for all you Watsonians out there, be bold, stay classy, and we'll see you next week.
That's right. Have a good one.